Jeff was telling me a wonderful story about when the Russians came to Fielding and Platy in the 1950s. Jeff, do tell me about the stories that came about of the Russians being at Fielding's.
Well, of course, Fielding's won a major contract with Russia to supply a whole long line of presses. I think they're largely extrusion presses, but there may well have been others. The Russians would not allow anyone from England to go into Russia in order to set the presses up. And so the Russian trade delegation had their own engineers in England who came down to Gloucester to the works to actually study in great detail all the details of how the various components went together and to make sure that the equipment was tested to a proper standard before it left, and so they had all the detail, and then they were responsible when they got the whole lot back to Russia to get it up and running over there. Now, that was the basic theory of the whole thing, and I suppose it worked after a fashion. There was a man called Vishnevsky, who was actually quite a nice man, who was delegated, who did most of the liaison work. I think there were others, but he was one that certainly not only springs to mind, but was involved quite a lot with my father. And they got on reasonably well. It didn't seem to require much in the way of interpretation. And in fact, Mr. Vishnevsky came to our home on at least two or three occasions and sort of had lunch. And he was quite pleasant. And I sort of talked to him a little bit and so on. I remember my father trying to get him to say how it was that they thought that the Russian system was better than the Western system, and he used to sort of say to him, "But if you take all the your profitability and put it back into your own pockets and so on, I mean, where does it end?" And Vishnevsky would never agree that the Western system was better than the Russian system, but he didn't actually have an answer to how the Russian system was going to work in the long run. And of course, we all know that it didn't. However, back to stories, I think there was quite a problem in that Vishnevsky and or others used to come down to Gloucester and spend days and days and days when there really wasn't all that much to actually see or be done and so on, they were a bit of a nuisance around the works. And somebody said to my dad, who of course had this role as an acceptance engineer and therefore was out and about and meeting other customers, "Can't you take him somewhere else? Go and show him some other aspect of working somewhere." And so Dad used to have the role of trying to persuade other firms to allow him to take Vishnevsky and see the production of nuts and bolts in Liverpool or wherever it might be. Now, on one occasion, they went to Newcastle-on-Tyne or somewhere around the northeast, and Dad was driving. They went from Gloucester up to Newcastle, and they did whatever was being done, and they'd seen it all and so on, and they started off southwards again, and going down the A1, Great North Road. Eventually, I suppose somewhere in the region of Darlington or around there, Vishnevsky sort of said, "I think I'm going to go back to London. I don't want to go back to Gloucester. So drop me off at a railway station and I'll get a train and go to London." Now, almost about the same time, Dad noticed there was a police car behind him, perhaps a few hundred yards back, but the police cars just seemed to, with Dad accelerated, the police car accelerated. And if Dad slowed down, the police car slowed down. So he was pretty convinced that somebody from Special Branch was interested in what Mr. Vishnevsky was up to and where he was going. I've never quite understood, but Dad went into Doncaster Station, turned off the A1 into Doncaster Station, and dropped Vishnevsky at the station. He got on a train and went to London. Dad got back in the car and set off down the A1 again towards Gloucester. And sure enough, the police car was still behind them. Now, I could never quite understand why they didn't know that Vishnevsky was no longer in the car, but Dad's tale certainly was that eventually he got fed up with being trailed by a police car, so he stopped. The police car stopped a bit behind him. Dad got out of the car and went back and said, "He's on a train to London, you know." "Who's on a train to London?" The Russian gentleman that was with me. "We know nothing about a Russian gentleman. Well, I'm only telling you that he's on a train to London and he's no longer in my car and I'm going to Gloucester. I don't know what you want to do." Dad got back in the car and drove off, and 5 minutes later the police car had disappeared. So we never did discover who they were actually trailing and for what purpose.
That's a wonderful story. Thank you, Jeff.